OTB's Mount Rushmore. 32 counties, one county representative choosing their sporting Mount Rushmore. Some decisions are easy.
And I was seeing teachers who had never expressed any emotion whatsoever lose their mind when Sonny was running in that home straight, trying to catch that bold spot.
Others are controversial.
Mayo's greatest celebrity fan now helps him earn his place on Mayo's Mount Rushmore is Kevin Kilbane.
Join the debate across all our social channels at Off the Ball.
George O'Connor, 17 summers in purple and gold.
And catch the live decision-making over the next few months on OTB AM, live every weekday at 7.30 a.m. on OTB Sports Radio.
The OTB Podcast Network.
Whether you're from Cushendall in Antrim or Mount Sion in Waterford, this is what it's all about.
Get this, the all-new OTB Sports app. Off the Ball, Ireland's premier sports channel, now has a new home, featuring the biggest names in Irish and world sports. Podcasts, interviews, news, commentary, analysis, plus almost 20 years of sporting archives. All free and ready when you are, at home or on the go. The new OTB Sports app. Download it now from the App Store and Google Play.
The News Round on Off the Ball.
With Gillette. We don't just play the game, we change it. Gillette, made of what matters.
This is News Talk.
Hello there, you're very welcome along to Tuesday evening's Off the Ball. Coming up just after 8 o'clock, we'll chat to Sarah Rowe of Collingwood and Mayo, amongst other things. Also, a Republic of Ireland international in her spare time and a 20 by 20 ambassador. We have Kenny Cunningham with us this hour. It's a pretty decent Premier League evening. Arsenal Leicester is on the way, kicks off at 8.15. NFL with Keane Tracy. So the Patriots have signed Cam Newton to replace the irreplaceable. And meanwhile, Patrick Mahomes is toasting his brand spanking new record-breaking $500 million plus contract over 10 years. It is the first half a billion dollar contract in sport. Makes it the highest ever in any sport. Plus David Kahn on this bizarre Wigan situation. If you've seen the headlines and you're not too sure what's going on, it is interesting and truly bizarre. So David Kahn will explain all after 9 o'clock. 53106 is the text number. We are at Off the Ball on Twitter. Alongside me for the news round, as ever, Richie McCormick. Hello to you.
How are you, Joe? You well?
I'm very well. And we have with us as well, Will O'Callaghan. Hello, Will.
Evening, lads.
Patrick Mahomes, Will. $500 million. My God. My God, my God, my God. Just give me a million. Patrick, just give me a million.
It's an insane investment, obviously, but here you go. I mean, he was the Super Bowl MVP last year. He was a guy who knew that he had value when he went into his contract negotiations. And as you say, this is an unprecedented contract. If he doesn't throw a ball over the next 10 years from the moment that he puts pen to paper, they still have to give him $140 million. And in all likelihood, if he continues to play well and if the team continues to do well, he's going to make at least $450 million of that, which is guaranteed. And then put his bonuses on top of that. He's going to be a very rich man indeed. I wonder what it's going to do for the market, though, within the NFL, because you know, quarterbacks are obviously incredibly important. They're integral to whatever franchise they're at. And maybe they were undervalued until the TV deals of recent seasons. And I would imagine there's still going to be some people there like Aaron Rodgers who'll be looking for his last ever deal. And they're going to now look at what Mahomes is being paid. And they're going to say, fill my bank balance.
Yeah, no, absolutely. We'll talk to Keane Tracy about that around 8.40. Sarah Rowe, in the meantime, at 8 o'clock. Very interesting few things to talk to her about. She will have to, it seems, based on Peter Lee's latest interviews, have to choose between Collingwood and Mayo going forward. She's still only 24 years of age and has spent her second season, incomplete, but her second season at Collingwood, and is doing really well. Was voted the best Irish player in the league, which is an award over there. There's about 18 players in the AFLW, and she was voted the best of the Irish. So things going very well for her in Australia. And interestingly as well, we'll get into this with her after 8 o'clock, she is a big fan of psychology, she NLP, hypnosis as well, and she is working with clients over there in Australia as well. So she's seeing people and helping them with their psychology. So that's on the way after 8. And then, of course, Richie, Kenny Cunningham with us this hour. So that's all any show needs.
That will, you could basically coast from there, Joe.
Yeah. So Kenny with us, we'll talk to him about a few different things, including the football this evening, which we should get to in your news round, Richie. Our news round is brought to you these days with thanks to Gillette. We don't just play the game, we change it. Gillette, made of what matters. You're starting with the live football this evening.
Yeah, into the second half in two of the three Premier League games. It's Selhurst Park, it's Crystal Palace 1, Chelsea 2. Olivier Giroud swept the ball home from close range after a Gary Cahill injury allowed his former side in. Christian Pulisic made it 2-0 before a Wilfried Zaha rocket dragged Palace back into the game. If you haven't seen this one already, I very much recommend you track it down. 2-1 the latest score there to Chelsea at Vicarage Road. Meanwhile, a real relegation six-pointer there. Currently Watford 1, Norwich 1. Emiliano Buendia gave Norwich an early lead, only for Craig Dawson to level for the host on 10 minutes. Then at 8:15, Arsenal will look to complete five Premier League wins in a row for the first time in nearly 2 years. Mikel Arteta's side welcome Leicester to the Emirates. Leicester travelled to North London off the back of a convincing win at the weekend, and Jamie Vardy's brace was just the second time he scored in 2020. And his manager Brendan Rodgers was keen to play down the theory that Leicester don't fire unless Vardy does.
Listen, our team is very much a collective. There's no doubt about that. But of course, he is... He plays a very, very important role for us at the top of the pitch. So, I think it's one where the responsibility, I've always said, is with our team to score the goals. We haven't been as creative or as intense as what I would have liked, but certainly the game at the weekend gives us a huge confidence boost, because I think our intensity was really good. We were fighting for every ball. We know how tough Crystal Palace can be to break down. We eventually got there. And then by the end of the game, and certainly in the second half, I think we showed our fitness level. And Jamie showed his quality, and the team showed their resilience and fight. So we're hoping that bodes well now for us for the remainder of the season.
It's all very delicately poised, Will. If we assume for a second somehow that Manchester City lawyers can get them off with Cass on the 13th of this month and that they take second spot and they take a European spot, we have Chelsea playing this evening with that win going to 60 points. We have Leicester about to play against Arsenal on 58 points, and Manchester United making a real move on 55 points in fifth, and they go to Leicester on the last day of the season. The rest of United's fixture list is very, very manageable. So if you look at Leicester, and we heard Brendan Rodgers there, or Chelsea, or to maybe a lesser extent, Solskjaer, United fans have adjusted to where they are this season. But Lampard or Brendan Rodgers, for either to find themselves suddenly outside of the Champions League spots after much of the season looking like they were getting them. I mean, if you take Rodgers and Leicester, they're not going to get a top four next year, you would suspect. It would be a really damp squib to be playing Europa League football all of a sudden next year.
It really will, because when they were going into lockdown, even though their form had dipped a little bit going into the middle of March, the feeling would have been that Leicester had done enough work, particularly until Christmas, to make sure that they would stay in the top four. All they really had to do was just to keep on accumulating points, and they've had a problem doing so. I mean, the win at the weekend against Crystal Palace is obviously very welcome, given that Jamie Vardy finally gets over what he's had to talk about in the last 5 weeks since the restart, which is getting to 100 Premier League goals. He scored 100 and 101 at the weekend, and Leicester looked a bit more like themselves. They didn't look as leggy as they did in some of the performances after they came back from the break, and they put Crystal Palace to the sword. Palace are just about sticking in against Chelsea at the moment, but you would need probably another special moment like Zaha to probably have any chance of getting a point. I think Chelsea are probably still susceptible to dropping some points, Joe. I mean, we saw last week against West Ham the problems that they have defending, and particularly defending at set pieces, which I'm sure is going to give encouragement to every team that Chelsea play between now and the end of the season. Arsenal may well do Manchester United a favour either side of the weekend, given that they beat Wolves, who were very much in contention to still get into the top five, top four. That was a setback for them, losing against Arsenal. And if Arsenal were to beat Leicester tonight, that plays into Manchester United's hands. And it's now not just Chelsea that they're chasing down. United could easily catch Leicester and get into third position. Like, if you looked at the weekend, it really has clicked with that front three that United have put in place now. 16 games unbeaten. And it looks like Ole Gunnar Solskjaer has happened upon a system that works perfectly. And if he can keep his players fit, particularly now that Fernandes and Pogba are dovetailing well together, there's no reason to think that United can't have a very strong finish to the season and to end up inside that top four. Leicester look really vulnerable at the moment.
Yeah, we'll chat to Kenny. 8:15, that game kicks off at the Emirates. And Arsenal are in the midst of a very decent run. Now, I'm sure it's just a false dawn and things will fall apart in due course, but they're in the midst of a good run. Three straight Premier League wins, each with clean sheets. First time in 3 years, Arsenal have won three games with three clean sheets. And they have a good home record at the moment as well under Arteta. So this is tricky for Leicester this evening. Potentially a big night in the top four situation. You know things are grim when I'm really trying to sell the top four situation. Is there a reason to stay interested, Richie? Who's going to finish top four?
Actually, listen, we'll take what we can get at this stage. I've on in the corner here Watford and Norwich, so I'm kind of playing into the relegation battle a little bit as well, which is very interesting. Norwich looking doomed and playing in red tonight, which is possibly the wrongest away colour I've seen for a side in a long, long time. Anyway, in the Championship, Fulham are up to third after Harry Arter's second goal in three games gave them a 1-0 win away to Nottingham Forest. They're into the second half in three more games this evening. Brentford have conceded their first goal since late February. They're 1-0 down at home to Charlton. Brentford have been on a magnificent run and up to the upper echelons of the playoff places. Luton are leading Barnsley by a 1-0 at Kenilworth Road and still scoreless at the Madejski, where Reading are up against Huddersfield. There's a 7:45 start at the Cardiff City Stadium, where Cardiff go up against Blackburn Rovers.
Now, for Leinster fans who are watching week in, week out, they will be very familiar with the value of somebody like a Barry Daly in the squad, who often plays and plays very well for them in a host of games. He's had to call it quits.
Yeah, and at the age of just 27, the Leinster winger has endured 2 years of persistent knee injuries. Daly, though, has told Leinster that he is ready for life after the game. He says it was a privilege to play for the province, and he's now pursuing a master's degree at Boston College. As you mentioned, Joe, fairly handy player to call upon when needed. He scored 19 tries in 36 Leinster appearances when he was fit.
So, we have League of Ireland news. Friendlies are starting to be organised.
Starting to ramp up, yeah. Dundalk announced friendly matches today with both Derry City and Bohemians. The games will be played behind closed doors and before the July 31st resumption of the SSC Airtricity Premier Division. The reigning champions say they're also exploring the idea of streaming those matches online. And meanwhile, WWE superstar Finn Balor has put his hand in his pocket to help his local club, Bray Wanderers. He's donated to the First Division club's GoFundMe page. Bray are looking to raise €30,000 to help bring their Carlisle grounds up to HSC standards ahead of the return to play. You remember Sligo underwent a similar process a couple weeks ago. They've raised 70,000 of over and above the 50,000 that they were looking for.
Well done. I wasn't sure how you would work in this evening's WWE mention, but you've managed to do it.
Had to be
seamlessly
done.
There.
Had to be done.
Lampard is absolutely getting an easy ride compared to other managers. Solskjaer written off by the media completely. Frank, all the plaudits just because of who he is and who his friends are in the media. Look at both sides, you'll see Solskjaer has been working with players just as young as Lampard is.
Lampard has fewer points, Joe, than Sarri did at this point last season. And there was a feeling with Sarri at this stage last year that he was a dead man walking, even going into the closing stages of the Europa League. So I'd agree. I mean, like the way Chelsea defended too, Lampard is talking about potentially getting a defence coach in, but they've been really, really porous at the back. And yeah, I think the fact that Frank Lampard is a club legend and a former England player, he's definitely getting away with a lot that Sarri didn't get away with last year.
And good in the media.
Fantastic goal, by the way, at Vicarage Road. Yeah, a fantastic goal at Vicarage Road from Danny Welbeck for those who've just missed out. And a bicycle kick from the former Manchester United and Arsenal man after some fine work down the right-hand side. And so a fortuitous flick, it must be said, after an Ismail Sarr work down the right-hand side. But Danny Welbeck putting Watford 2-1 ahead at home to Norwich. I told you I was invested in the relegation battle, Joe.
No, I can tell. I can tell. It's very exciting stuff. So that's bad news for Aston Villa. I was just going to say as well in response to that, Will, it doesn't hurt that he's popular in the media, that lots of players he played with at England level or club level are in the media as well as pundits. But there is just a different feeling about the club. You know, the Tammy Abraham thing initially as well, this sense of Abraham and Mount and a regeneration happening. To be fair, you can't totally discount that. He has given lots of young players their chance. So when you're comparing him with Sarri, I think that has to be taken into account as well. I know Kenny, actually, I'll put the text to Kenny Cunningham. I know Kenny's a big fan of Lampard for all the kind of criticism he's getting. There's like a backlash to the lack of backlash on Lampard.
Yeah, look at the transfer business that they're likely to do for next season. You might have to judge Frank Lampard after he's had a chance to bring players in. And they've got Timo Werner next season, and they've got options like Hakim Ziyech and Pulisic running at teams. And when maybe Werner is going to play as their number nine as opposed to Tammy Abraham, and they're able to stretch teams next season, Chelsea could be entirely transformed. Mm. And you could make the argument that, look, he wasn't able to bring players in his first window. He had to just kind of go with what he had. And maybe the best time to judge Frank Lampard is in 12 months' time.
So this Wigan situation, Richie?
Yeah, it's getting more and more grim by the day. But Wigan's owner, singular, claims he bought the championship club with the best intentions. They entered administration just a month after being bought by Au Young YK. Young claims that he invested £40 million into the club prior to them appointing administrators. Rugby League side Wigan Warriors, the fellow tenants of the DW, are among the bidders looking to buy the club. Prospective owners must have £10 million in the bank, and administrator Gerald Krasner has been outlining what comes next for those potential bidders.
If previous experience is anything to go by, and in these peculiar times I'm not sure it is, I would hope that that 50 leads to something like 3 to 5 very serious offers. I'm looking for final offers by the 21st of July, but have the power to extend that if appropriate. Once we get final offers, we will come up with a preferred bidder.
It seems that Wigan Warriors, the rugby league club, are amongst those interested. This is a bizarre story. It's very complicated. David Conn will explain all after 9 o'clock. But essentially, you know, we think of Wigan FA Cup winners in 2013, Premier League team for a period. Dave Whelan took over in 95, a local magnate club, done good and built the whole thing up, new stadium. He sold about 18, 19 months ago to a Chinese consortium, and then they decided to sell about a month ago, and Au Young paid 40 million in total for the club in the midst of a pandemic. I would say people were well aware there was a pandemic in the last 3-4 weeks. He bought the club 40 million and then says because of the pandemic he can't put in any more money, and so he's put them straight into administration. It's really weird. No one knows why he's done this. You know, you would think if you're in a position in life to generate 40 million and come up with 40 million, you wouldn't be so stupid as to throw it away. But it actually just seems like that's what he's done. He's just thrown away 40 million and put the club into administration. So no one's quite sure what's going on here. David Conn will hopefully have an answer or two after 9 o'clock, but it's bizarre. Where are we going next, Rich?
Where are we going next, Joe? Reverts to the script, to the golf. The RNA have confirmed that this year's Women's British Open is to go ahead. The competition will be staged at Royal Troon from August 20th, but no spectators will be allowed on site. The RNA were forced to cancel this year's Men's Open Championship at Royal St George's due to COVID-19. The Women's British Open will be the first women's major to be played this year.
Fernando Alonso?
Yeah, it's understood he's going to be back in Formula One more returns than Ric Flair. He's going to be heading back to his former team Renault next year. Confirmation of that move is expected tomorrow. The Spaniard won the driver's title with Renault in 2005 and 2006 before quitting F1 in 2018. The team say they won't comment on rumours, but as I say, confirmation of that is due to come tomorrow.
Remind us, why did he quit?
He wanted to go off and explore other options. He was racing in IndyCar as well for a while, but he's flitted in and out of love with sport. Yeah. Whether that's financially driven or whether that's his placing with teams, his star had certainly dulled a little bit since those championship wins in the mid-2000s, and he was kind of superseded by other more dynamic drivers like Lewis Hamilton. But I think it's been a case of application more than anything else with him, and whether or not he actually wants to be in the sport. And it seems there's enough of a package on offer from Renault to tempt him back.
Okay.
He went on to like drive quite well in Le Mans and also in Indy racing. It's not like as if he didn't have the talent when he went outside of Formula One. And it's kind of been long rumored that he would go back to Renault when Renault knew that they were going to have a free car for the 2021 season. The interesting thing is it looks like you might get Fernando Alonso and how motivated he's going to be going back to a Renault team who won't have the car to make him a world champion for a third time. Yeah. But he'd probably come back and be quite competitive. And it looks like Sebastian Vettel at this point might go the other way and might end up driving outside of Formula One for next year, because kind of all the soundings from the weekend where Ferrari had to do the press and he was doing the press ahead of the Austrian Grand Prix is that it seems that Ferrari had an idea that Sebastian Vettel was no longer all that interested in Formula One. And they even compared it directly to Alonso in 2018, that there's a potential here that Vettel may well walk away, because as things stand, I think Mercedes are probably going to sign Bottas and Lewis Hamilton back for next season, which leaves realistically Vettel with nowhere to go. So it'd be interesting to see how he gets on in his Alonso-style sabbatical if he does so too.
Yeah, okay. Basketball news, Richie?
Yeah, Basketball Ireland confirming today that three new teams will play in the National Basketball League for the first time. Team Kerry, Drogheda Wolves and Malahide have been admitted to the men's Division 1 ahead of the new season. Titans Basketball Club returned to join them after a year's absence, and the new season was brought forward to begin on the weekend of October 17th, and players will be required to complete a COVID-19 compliance form. It's pretty much across the board in all sports at the moment. Meanwhile, former Munster second row Gerbrandt Grobler has joined Stade Francais. The South African lock has signed a two-year deal, having departed Gloucester, whom he joined after leaving Munster, of course. Stad also in business today. Joining Grobler in Paris will be the Tongan winger Tolosa Vaiannou, who has left Leicester Tigers after the pay cuts that have been imposed at Jordan Murphy's side there.
And then Patrick Mahomes, we mentioned that at the top of the show.
He is a very, very rich man. He signed a 10-year contract extension with Kansas City Chiefs for the princely sum of $503 million. The 24-year-old quarterback is the youngest ever player to win the Super Bowl and league MVP.
I mean, he won't fail the 10 years, I presume. We'll talk about this later with Keane Tracy. I was looking, anybody who signed any contract of this length has not fulfilled it. You just don't do 10 years like this without either injury or renegotiation of some kind. Some of the names I saw, Brett Favre didn't make his 10 years. Michael Vick, for very different reasons, didn't make his 10 years. Something tends to crop up, but they've tied him down anyway. So
the other thing I was thinking, Joe, in terms of the 10 years, is whether this could potentially, I know at the moment we're marveling at the fact that he's going to get $500 million along the way, but when you do sign a contract that's that long, you can end up a bit like Scottie Pippen at the Bulls, where if the NFL have a lot more money in 5 to 6 years' time, he might be looking at his current deal and thinking, well, actually, $100 million a season isn't worth it now because some of these new quarterbacks are getting paid much more. So that kind of loyalty is probably going to work both ways if he's still on that same contract in 7 or 8 years' time.
Yes, I suspect there must be some kind of clause in there which gives him the right to renegotiate. If there's not...
Favorite Nations kind of deal.
Something like that, yeah. If there isn't, then his agent, who, by the way, Steinberg is his second name, Lee Steinberg, it's who Jerry Maguire was based on. If he didn't scream "Show me the money" down the phone today, then you're just never going to do it. So, he knows what he's doing clearly. So, I would presume there is some clause in there which allows renegotiation if other salaries hit a certain level. You know, all this stuff's going to be in there. But yeah, I mean, the Scottie Pippen thing. I was just thinking that earlier today. With inflation, with new TV deals, I mean, not a sentence I ever thought I'd say, but is $500 million enough? So.
That's your quote tonight.
Yeah, I mean, is it though?
This is as bad as when Johnny Ward was on the show, like encouraging people to bet monkeys and all that kind of stuff on horses. You're like, is that... $500 million enough money? Is it?
What's a man to do with $500 million? Where are we going?
Elsewhere, where am I going? Helder Costa leads
by Wigan.
The
by Wigan Athletic. Sorry,
he probably could. Yeah, Jesus. Leeds have confirmed the permanent signing of Helder Costa from Wolves. The Portuguese international arrived on loan at Elland Road at the start of the season, and he scored 4 times in 43 appearances for the Championship table toppers. Costa has signed a 4-year contract at Elland Road.
Okay. Well, cheers for that, Richie, as ever. Thanks, Mil.
Cheers, man.
That is your news round for this evening. Again, in the Premier League, Chelsea 2-1 up away to Crystal Palace, 63 minutes on the clock. And Watford 2-1 up at home to Norwich City. Short ad break. We'll check in with Kenny Cunningham next.
The News Round on Off the Ball.
With Gillette. We don't just play the game. We change it. Gillette. Made of what matters.
This is News Talk.